This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyers rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Here's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob.
All right, everybody. Baseball isn't boring. We're getting ready. Everyone's coming back from the All-Star break. Now, all the teams, all the players getting some rest. I need rest. Chicago to Scotland to Philadelphia. Finally back home. You can hear a little bit in my voice, a little bit under the weather, but that's okay. That is okay because the great game of baseball is the best medicine for everything. Yeah, okay. At BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. Go to bbisn'tboring.com, bbisn'tboring.com. To get your merch to represent. And also, by the way, the big announcement, the official announcement, I believe, from the Red Sox about Baseball Isn't Boring Night is coming on Monday. Surprise. I mean, this is, you listen to the podcast, you get this sort of thing, a heads up for it. All right. Well, we get a lot going on. And by the way, speaking of Baseball Isn't Boring Night, I have CEO Joe on the podcast taping that today. And so CEO Joe will be on. He has another big announcement regarding something that he's doing, which we want to help promote and part of the family and involves baseball. So there you go. All right. So today's podcast is catching up with Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet, who has been hurt or injured since April, hasn't pitched. So I want to find out what's going on. I didn't know what's going on with him. Hadn't talked to him in a couple weeks. So I wanted to find out what's going on. The guy who finished second in the Cy Young voting, American League Cy Young voting last year, was obviously an ace, proven ace, but has not really pitched hardly at all this season. So what is happening? So you're going to get the news, you're going to get the analysis, you're going to get the insight, you're going to get the entertainment, you're going to get it all in this sit-down. And caught it up, I should note that Garrett has a beer named after him by the fine folks at Sam Adams, and he was going around bar to bar to bar in Boston to help remind people that he has this beer, which it's actually really, really good. It's good. It's solid. It's solid beer. Like, I like it. I don't like heavy beers, and this isn't a heavy beer. This is like the Corona version of beers with baseball players on the can. I don't know. But it's good. Go check it out. Sam Adams. All right, so I caught up with Garrett, sat down with him. And then we're going to finish off the podcast with one of the all-star conversations that I had with Mason Miller, who was traded last year. And so I want to ask him about, A, the value of being a closer, and do teams value it enough, and also what it's like to be traded for that many guys as a closer, like he was last year. But, hey, first off, I want to give you always awesome Garrett Crochet, one of the best that we have on this podcast, because he's honest. He tries hard when he comes on. He's just two guys talking. In this case, just two guys just sitting around, shopping up at a bar, celebrating Garrett Crochet's beer. All right, here you go. Here's Garrett Crochet.
There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be having a Sam Adams beer with than Garrett Crochet. Yes, a fact. Yes. Nobody I'd rather be talking to, but nobody I'd rather be sitting here having a Garrett, what is it?
Crochet Pale Ale.
Crochet Pale Ale. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, excellent. I said this before. Of all the beers that I've had this season, it is the best. And I'm not just saying this because you're sitting here and your face is on the can or the tap or whatever it was. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. I like to indulge in a pale ale every now and then. It's really good, yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, I sincerely believe you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no. I believe that I could feed you, like, 10 pale ales and you would say the same thing. It was, like, true, sir. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what a pale ale is. It's truth serum.
Stop tape. Anyway, how are you? Good?
Yeah, I'm good. All right. I mean, watching the team on a roll, it's hard not to be good.
Yeah, so it's... I'll just get the nuts and bolts out of the way. Okay, how are you? Because people ask me, but I literally, like... I work for a radio station sometimes.
Yeah.
But if people say, hey, about Garrett, what's going on? I said... I would be misrepresenting it if I would say, because I haven't talked to him in the last couple of weeks because they've been on the road, the All-Star break. But now here is a good time. What's going on with you?
Yeah. Just still cranking out rotator cuff exercises.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a broken record, but with the capsule, it's weird. I got to let it heal while also addressing areas that are surrounding it, with the cuff being the main one that we need to, carry a majority of the workload when it comes to the throw itself. So really just hammering strength in that area. I felt like when I was doing plyos and trying to strengthen it, that we were kind of seeing diminished returns, and we kind of got to a point where we were plateauing. So no plyos right now, just really hammering rotator cuff.
So what has it been a thing that, like, you felt, obviously you probably didn't feel it was going to take this long.
Right.
I mean, at all. I think, were you even like...
I didn't think I was going to go on the IL.
Well, the IL was like... retroactive, but that tells you what they're thinking, right?
But as the injury matured, it just became more than what we thought that it was. And especially, like, when you're talking about the shoulder, it's very complex because you have the pec, you have the bicep tendon, you have the infra and supraspinatus, and I'm not going to name all the other shoulder muscles.
It's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Terry's minor, Terry's major.
It's pretty good.
There's other stuff going on there, and it's... that's why we did the imaging to kind of get to the root of the problem. But a lot of the other muscles in that area can kind of start to compensate when there's an injury. So that, I had the lat strain. That's kind of what we chalked that up to, is that my rotator cuff still wasn't in a good spot. So everything else was working a little bit too hard. So right now it's like we need to get the cuff in a good spot before we start drawing again. That's really the mission.
Here's this is, I'm not going to be an alarmist, but I'm going to be an alarmist. Is it a race against time a little bit? Like, because like we're sitting here at the All-Star break and, you know, you're
right.
The most important thing is you being right for
right.
your career.
Right.
So is it that fair to say?
And that's why I am in a weird spot because of that. Because that's my goal. That's my
don't do anything stupid.
Right, exactly. Right. And it's a constant, you know, kind of balancing act. It's how aggressively can I push, but while also being smart. And, you know, in the beginning, I'll quote the last train again. I was being very aggressive because, like I said, I didn't feel like I needed to go on the IL. And the longer that I sat there, the more like a piece of crap that I thought of myself, that I wasn't there to help the team. Mm-hmm. And I feel like ultimately I wound up putting myself in a worse spot. I'm not going to say I put the team in a bad spot because the young guys come up and the pitching staff's been throwing the ball great. And it's really exciting to watch. So I don't want to take that away from them. But, you know, of course I want to be out there, but I got to be smart.
Well, that's the thing is that now it's harder because, like, now you're in it, right?
Right.
It's, if you're out of it, I mean, you've been in that situation.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right.
I'm fails out of school. Like, if you're out of it, you're like, okay, we'll see you next year.
Right, essentially.
Right, but if now you're in it, now this is going to be the test to say, hey, you know, let's be realistic about this, right?
Regardless, I feel like from my perspective, being in it or out of it, you still want to make that push to at least return to the mound again, especially with the off season that's looming ahead. Who knows if games, when games will be played. So that would just be an even further extended period of time being outside of a like truly competitive MLB game. But like you said, we're in it right now. So it's tough that I'm kind of sitting on my hands, but I also feel like it's the right thing for the Boston Red Sox as well as myself. And that was kind of part of it to begin with. Selfishly, I wanted to get back because I wanted to help the team.
Yeah.
The team has clearly shown that they can survive and thrive. And right now now that we're kind of back into it, I'm able to take a step back and think, how can I help the team? And I mean, full transparency, I was not throwing the ball well before going on the IL. I felt like I was turning a corner, but in order for me to help the team, I have to be back and healthy.
You have to be your best.
Yeah, I gotta be healthy.
And so what is you just strengthening? I just want to clarify. So you're just strengthening now.
Yeah.
There's no like we just. How does that work when they say, okay, now you can start throwing?
To be honest, I'm not sure. Just because I'm not there yet.
Okay.
You know, we're having conversations every week about evaluations about probably every 7 to 10 days. Just kind of checking our work and making sure that we're still trending in the right direction. And we've been going that way for a while now. Since stopping plyos, especially, I feel like I've seen drastic gains. But as far as what makes you ready to throw, I mean, I'm not an athletic trainer, so I don't really know.
Yeah, but you just rattled off some parts of the body, which, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Spend a little bit of time on the IL. You hear some
plus,
words.
Dude, I cover J.D. Drew. I have a PhD. It's like, yeah. But so it's like, this is, at least you got your head around it, right?
Yeah.
You have a, like, okay, this is what it is. I don't have to push. It is what it is. I do find it interesting you talking about like wanting to get out there before the season, just because like we don't know what's going to happen.
Right, right.
Right. That's a very real thing.
And it's just like, sometimes teams with prospects, they'll like send a guy to the fall league after he's coming back from Tommy John and he missed the season just to get game reps before you're about to take 3, 4, 5. I mean, who knows with this offseason how many months off it'll be. So just to stay sharp, but like you said, we're in it. So it's like, I don't need to get in to stay sharp. When I'm ready and come back, I want to be sharp.
What's it like when they go on that run for you? Like, what do you do? Like, you're back home.
Right, right.
You're like, you call and say, hey, that was awesome.
Yeah, well, it's like, I'll shoot a text every now and then, but it's weird because you're not there.
Yeah.
And it almost like I know the role that I have on this team and the role that I will have for years to come for the duration of my contract, but it's almost like, don't mess with it, kind of thing. Like, You know, I realized that.
Go on the road. Just like enjoy it. Go, like, don't. You're part of the solution.
Yeah.
Right? No, I mean, in all sincerity, like, you have to, like, to have your. This is nut crunching time, right? This is time where, like, whether you're pitching or not, to have guys around,
yeah,
like you, is important.
That's the tough part, too, though, because, and that's why ultimately I'm staying back now, just to be a priority in the training room, make sure that I get the work in that I need.
Yeah.
So then I can return. When I was traveling, the first, I think, 2 months that I was on the IL, which sucks to say that I've been on the IL for that long. But yeah, it's just tough because guys are getting ready for the game and I don't want to take their time.
Yeah. When I wanted to ask you about, I was thinking about Chase Burns signing the contract.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
You. Right? And I wanted to ask you about that idea because there's a couple guys here that probably, you know, are in, you know, in those conversations.
Yeah, you right? Imagine.
Yeah, yeah. But for you, it's like this is when you went through that. What was that like? What if I know that the easy answer is everyone's different.
Right.
Right. But what was it like for you? Like that, because I think I may have told you this. It's like I always remember Mookie Betts telling me the first one was the hardest one to turn down, you know, because it's like you never seen that much about money.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So.
But it's like the money wasn't in my pocket, so it wasn't hard to turn down. You know yeah. what I mean? And it's tough. I feel like I was very well educated by my representation, yeah. the CAA. So I kind of went into negotiations having a good foundation of what I believe my worth to be. And then at the same time factoring in years of control. So it kind of alters the value a little bit, like what I was shooting for. And we got there.
Yeah.
So I was very happy with it.
I mean, looking back, it's like this is a good example, right? As a board, because that's another thing, right? Will you have been up after this year?
I would have been, yeah.
I mean, not to say you still would have made money.
Right, right.
But still, like, the mindset of, oh, shit.
I never, right, yeah.
That's a huge deal. And it's not, you know, it's everybody's different.
Right.
And now you're sitting here, like, with free stuff.
Yeah.
And up here.
Yeah, it's just yeah. Great.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Who knows, though? It's like, if I didn't sign the extension, do I throw 205 innings last year, you know? Like, or do they guard me a little bit more knowing that I have one more year and then I'm free? Like, I guess you don't know how it goes. Butterfly yeah. effect kind of changes everything.
Yeah. So what has it been like for you? Like, this group, I said, I'm not saying because you're standing here, but you are part of the solution. You're fabric of that tub house.
Yeah.
You're the straw that stirs the drink. But what has this been like? Because it's funny because I was talking to someone today about the trade deadline stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't want to misrepresent, but I only can tell you how I feel. Like with this group, a lot of times, like, we got to add. But this group is sort of like, you guys just been like, it's the ultimate, like, taking one day at a time.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
swimming upstream almost, like, ever since the what happened in Baltimore, you know?
Yeah.
So. Like, what is the vibe like?
I mean, as a clubhouse, we knew the way that we were playing, and we know the way that we have been playing are two completely different, not even different sides of the coin, two different coins. We're talking a penny and a quarter, two different coins. And at the end of the day, you have to earn the right and prove to ownership, management, that you deserve to buy. And I think that, you know, these past few weeks, the team's on the track to doing that. Like you said, right now we're just getting our foot in the door. In terms of standings in the AL, we're fortunate that it's a very close race. But ultimately, you nailed it by saying one day at a time.
It feels like
when is the deadline? The second?
It's the third.
Third.
Weird.
So I mean, we still got 3 weeks of games before that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. So you just don't know. It just does feel like a more than one day at a time thing than ever before.
I mean, you can argue that's the best way to approach it when you're playing one pitch at a time. It's difficult to stay present like that, but that's kind of like the flow state, I feel like, of baseball.
Well, I'm gonna conclude by once again saying you have an awesome beer.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Sam Adams and you. And also, maybe the highlight of your year, on September 2nd, Joe and I formally want to invite you to catch his first pitch.
Oh, he's doing it here.
Baseballs and Boring Night, September 2nd. Yes.
I would love to.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Now, we may have someone...
Hopefully I'm back pitching, but hopefully I'm not starting
We may have someone standing in the batter's box with an Austin on his back, so he may hit him. Who knows?
Are we playing the Yankees that series?
No, unfortunately not. Yeah. But thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Great stuff from Gary Crochet. Really some explanations and some insight to his situation, which I don't think you've heard before. All right, well, as I said, I also wanted to catch up with Mason Miller, which I did. Mason Miller it fascinates me because anybody who said closers aren't important has never seen Mason Miller pitch. He is a legit weapon. A weapon. Like the type of weapon where I don't blame A.J. Preller for trading for using all those assets last year, because he is a difference maker. So let's talk to the difference maker. Let's catch up with the difference maker, Mason Miller, for a few minutes. Remember, at BB isn't boring, at BB isn't boring. We get a lot of good stuff coming, and hopefully my cold goes away very, very soon. All right, here's Mason Miller.
So tell me how different it is for you to pitch in the ninth inning. I know that's a big, broad question, but how is it different, you think?
Well, I think the value of it comes from establishing a role. You know, you see a bullpen where they're rotating guys through closing a game or playing matchups. You're forcing guys to be ready to go into a game at several different points. You know, you have an established ninth inning guy, an established 6, 7, 8-ish guy where, you know, it's like, hey, this is probably your lane. I think that allows other guys earlier in the game to kind of settle into that routine that you see so many back end guys do. That I would say is a big reason for success is consistency. So just allowing those guys to have a chance to do that.
Do you think that closers are valued correctly? Like for a while, it was sort of going, I don't want to say going the other way, but we can get by, whatever. But I think one of the things that you've proven is like how valuable this thing is to have that certainty. Do you think that it's valued or is going back that way? I know.
Yeah, I think the valuation changes team to team. You know, on a team that plays a lot of close games, yeah, it's super valuable. You know, I mean, obviously the Padres aren't where we envisioned ourselves this year, but, you know, 500 and a lot of that's thanks to our bullpen, you know, being able to keep us on the right side of a lot of close games. You know, when our lineup scores a couple runs, able to hold that lead. So it's a little bit of like, if your team's blowing everybody out, or, you know, like I'm sure the Nationals, it would help if they had a more consistent closing option.
Yeah.
But when they're also winning by 8 runs consistently too, it's like kind of a different side of things where it's like, how valuable is it if you're not playing that many close games? You're either winning big or losing big.
It's a bad feeling. It's a bad feeling if you are in close games and you don't have that guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of said it too. It's like when you have that guy that you trust and you know what to expect, and yeah, that could be valuable, and teams can appreciate that more. Different teams, but
when you're traded, like obviously you're just part of a trade, right? But you're trade for a lot of guys. Like, how do you view that? You know, like I as a human being, like, oh, I was traded for a lot of guys. I don't know. It's just because the reason I say that is because that's good for AJ for valuing what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anytime that you're traded for, regardless of the package, if that's a feeling, I think that other team's showing that they want you, that they value what you do, or they see something in you that they feel like they can unlock or improve. So, you know, just the fact of getting moved somewhere by a team that actively pursued you, gave up a lot to get you, you know, that's a feeling that, you know, you feel pretty good about coming to work knowing that you're valued. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of just the big league to a minor league thing. It's just everybody's talented, you know. So several of those guys that threw or pitched in that trade for them, you know, throw 100 as well. You know,
yeah,
like it could be a starter that makes an impact. You know, it's just, it's impossible to value that. I mean, when I was coming up through the minor leagues and I was a starting pitcher, and everybody was like frontline starter, or, you know, two or three or four, or just like a consistent piece in the big league rotation, to now it's like what's the difference in valuation there? You know, it's probably pretty significant.
Yeah,
it's really hard to project those kinds of things.
Well, I appreciate you. Thanks, man.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.